Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Hi, I'm Jesse Dick, a studio company member with the Washington Ballet.
And I'm Nicholas Cowden, and also in the studio company at the Washington Ballet.
And
I'm Ruben Martin. I'm the ballet master with the Washington Ballet.
Awesome. And we are, of course, here talking Sleeping Beauty, the Washington Ballet's latest production, which will be at the Kennedy Center preview is February 27th, opening night February 28th, and it runs through Sunday, March 3rd. So you have about a week to see it. So everyone come check it out. All right. So which of you three wants to take it? Let's remind our listeners. I'm sure they're all familiar with either they read the fairy tale or, you know, we've all seen the Disney movie. But remind them the story of, you know, Princess Aurora. Give us the premise really fast.
Well, the basic line of the story is good versus evil. And it all starts on Aurora's christening party where she gets blessed by all the fairies. Unfortunately, Carabosse, which is the fairy of evil or darkness, she's not invited, so she just bursts into the party. Why you didn't invite me? What is this? This cannot happen. And so she puts a curse on Aurora, where she's on her 16th birthday, she will prick her finger with a spindle, and then she will die. But the lilac fairy, she softens the spell a little bit, and instead of having her die as she pricks her finger, she will just send the whole kingdom to sleep for 100 years. Until she finds the right person, a very handsome prince, which will wake her up from that dream of 100 years and the whole kingdom with a true love's kiss. And that will create this beautiful celebration on the third act with all the characters and all the fairy tales that the writer actually wrote that brought into the Sleeping Beauty story. So third act is a beautiful, accelerating kind of display of classical dance and character to kind of celebrate the culmination and the wedding of the prince and the princess.
Awesome. So instead of the Disney Maleficent, right, we all have seen, it's now the evil Carabosse.
Carabosse.
Is that how you say it? Does it look the same? Is it the same? Does she look the same?
Yeah, she looks very, very evil. So
with the horns,
just beware.
No horns.
Okay,
she has a beautiful wig and some amazing makeup.
And what's awesome is that it's neither male or female, so there's both males playing the part and female, which I think is awesome because, you know, a female might bring another kind of flair to the role than a male would, but either are great, and it's a good contrast to the good fairy, which is the lilac fairy. So you get a bit of contrast of good and evil. The good triumphs the evil in the end, so that's always good.
So you just rotate it depending on the night, whether it's a man playing it or a
woman.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Who is our Aurora? Who plays Aurora?
We have four Auroras. Catherine Barkman, who just joined the company last Christmas. Mm-hmm. And on one, we have Ayano Kimura, and then Maki. Those will be our four beautiful Auroras.
Yes, our listeners will remember some of those names from previous people that came in for these interviews at TOP for Nutcracker and other things. Awesome. So you were mentioning that is, you said 3 acts, right? So there's 2 intermissions.
So
how exactly is it divided up? Like what scenes? Is it the birthday party is the opening and then the middle? You know, explain sort of how it's broken down.
So it's 3 acts and a prologue.
Okay.
Do this. Yeah. So the prologue, it's the christening. It's like when she's just been born, and it's 16 years before Act 1. And then Act 1 is her birthday party. It's the 16th birthday. Act 2 is, so at the end of Act 1, she falls asleep.
She pricks her finger.
She pricks her finger.
Okay.
And then you have an intermission in between Act 1 and Act 2, which is like 100 years. But it's only 20 minutes, and then you have...
It doesn't feel like 100 years
and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then you have the hunt scene at the beginning of Act 2, which introduces the prince, and it's him with his royalty party. And then from there, he's very sad, and he meets the Lilac Fairy, and she takes him to meet Aurora. And then at the end of Act 2 is the kiss, and she's woken up. And then Act 3 is the wedding and celebration.
Okay. And there's an intermission between Act 2 and 3?
No.
Okay, so there's only one intermission.
Only one intermission.
Gotcha.
It keeps it very tight. Because sometimes the ballet can get very long. But it's ours is more like a jewelry box production, I guess, and very tailored and custom to our company because it's much smaller than other ballet companies that would take on this ballet. I mean, it's really is like the pinnacle of all classical ballets, the Sleeping Beauty. And so most companies that take it on have 75 dancers in their company versus we have about 30. So really the scale is smaller, but you aren't losing any of the grandeur or really any of the music. So
now explain why you say it is the pinnacle of all, you know, it does have this sort of aura, not aurora, but an aura, around it. But why do you think that is? Is it that challenging? Or is it that music that we, you know?
Well, I think it's the combination of different things, but it's a ballet that is known for its history. It's kind of like the creation of classical ballet within the history of the art form. And it's a way to celebrate Marius Petipa, who is the choreographer, which last year was the 20th anniversary of his birth. So,
And I think it combines the stamina that you need, the technical level that the dancers have to be at is so high and precise that I think it's a really good just representation of the high class artists that we have in the company. It really just brings out the best because you have to be so technically strong and Aurora, especially the principal that has to dance a lot. Her stamina has to be crazy because she has variations in every single act. So you're not waiting around for dancing by any means in this production, which I think is also really nice because sometimes with a big story ballet, you know, there's a lot of acting and there's a lot of whatever, but there's the dance part of this, I think, is one of the best. And the music combined with it is fantastic. The music just brings out so much. So I think that it's a great combination of stamina that you need, the technical ability is very, very high, and then the music just kind of makes it all come together.
Yeah, expound upon the music idea, because it's obviously Tchaikovsky, and of course he did the Nutcracker, but also this. Explain, just remind our listeners what, and it's hard, I know, because we've got to paint a visual picture here with with the music, but I'll play it under the piece so they'll be able to hear it. But explain just sort of, you know, what we kind of hear or what some of the more famous segments might be.
I mean, the music is great because it tells you the whole story in itself, even without any of the pantomime or the dancing. So if you were to go and just listen to the score, you could tell, oh, this is the part where the evil fairy comes in and this must be the part where the good fairy comes in afterwards. It just gives it to you. And it's grand and it has motifs that are repeated throughout the ballet, so you can relate. And so every time the Lilac Fairy comes, she kind of has her theme music, and you know, oh, this is her coming in again. Or whenever Carabosse comes in, it's a similar, well, she has her own motif and theme music that's evil and foreboding. So it really...
It was also a collaboration between Petipa and Tchaikovsky, so the music and the choreography were catered to each other.
Right, it's not like you did it after the fact, right. It was kind
exactly.
of all created
and I
at
think
once.
That's one of the reasons why the themes go so well with the choreography, is that they're meant for each other with the intention that, okay, in this music comes this person and this is what we want to kind of express with it. And a lot of choreographies are made that way, where you actually... cater the music for the choreography and vice versa. And I think that's a very nice way to like get our forms combinations together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking a lot about the choreography. Isolate a piece of it that you think is so impressive every night there. Or is it what, you know what I mean? Like, is there a section that you can't wait to watch your fellow dancers perform or perform yourself?
Personally, I would say the Grand Pas de Deux, which is kind of the... I think the pinnacle of classical ballet in the way that it carries all the elements of the classical ballet technique. So the ballet technique has a vocabulary, which is what we learn when we're like 3 years old and we develop over our career. This is what we put our most attention on. And this ballet, specifically this pas de deux, is kind of like the extrapolation of all of those steps made into the most and purest choreography. to culminate the third act, which is like their wedding, basically.
Of course. And in addition to the Grand Pas de Deux, and do you guys have any other particular?
I love the fairies. There's so much beauty. And again, with the muse, like there's a little small variation. So that's another thing that it breaks it up. So I'm really excited to see all the fairies just kill it. There's such beautiful and talented dancers. So I think that's what I'm excited for. Mm-hmm.
Probably the dream sequence, honestly, because it's dreamy. I mean, when he meets her for the first time, it's, she comes in from a vision, basically, and comes in from offstage and does this diagonal, and he is in awe, and then they do a series of lifts, and it's like that's the first time that they touch and see each other, and it's like a suspended lift center stage, and they do it three times, I believe, and it's just really like... exciting because it's like, whoa, this is the first time that they're seeing each other in this dream and dancing together.
And she's already asleep at this point.
Yes.
That's why it's a dream, right?
Yes.
Upon a dream, exactly. You might even say. So, all right, cool. How about you guys? What all pieces are you, I know you're in the company, but what actually segments are you getting to do?
So I will be doing Lilac Fairy Attendance, which is so fun because it's very technically challenging. Mm-hmm. But we get to be in beautiful tutus, and we also get to be behind the gorgeous lilac fairy. So it's nice that her beauty kind of rubs off on us. So we come in just as grand as she is because we're behind her. So I'll be a lilac fairy attendant, a nymph, which is it's so great. And I love corps de ballet, so I'm excited to be a nymph. Then Mazurka. I've been working on my character skills, so we'll be that. We're in a character shoe, so it's different, you know, you get a little bit of everything. So I'm in point shoes for some, and then in the Mazurka, we get to dance in character shoes. So it just is a very different feel. And then friends. So I'm one of Aurora's friends. And that's a really fun dance. A lot of quick feet and beating and jumps. This ballet has a lot of jumps, which you have to be very, very technically strong just to make it look clear and to... execute the steps really well. So it's been challenging, but a good challenge because at the end of it, the dance in between the music and the choreography, it makes you happy. You know, like I find myself in rehearsal and I'm sweating, it's so hard, but by the end I'm smiling. And I'm like, oh wow, like I didn't force a smile on my face, it just kind of comes. So, so I think four or five roles, that's what I'm doing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How many do you play?
Similar in quantity. I do, so I'll be Catalibute, who is the master of ceremonies. For the kingdom, he's the one who forgets to invite Carabas, who is the evil fairy.
Oh,
and
so it's his fault.
It's really his fault.
All the bad blood.
Yes, I mean, but he gets his fair share of the beating. She comes and rips out his hair and scalps him basically in front of the whole party.
Oh, no.
But
and you
so
got quite a head of hair. So that's
great, man. I mean, there's also wigs and wigs and wigs
good.
In this production. But, yeah, so he's the master of ceremonies, so that's a fun character role to play. And then also I'll be in the Garland Waltz, which, I mean, dancing with a garland over your head is also quintessential in any classical ballet. So that's very exciting, and that'll be fun. And then Mazurka in Act 3, and in the hunt scene as well, I'll be one of the courtiers. So.
Awesome.
I will be mostly overlooking all the pieces of choreography that are part of the full-length ballet. But as a ballet master, I get to also participate in doing some of the character roles. So this production has a lot of character roles, amongst the one like what he mentioned, Catalibut. But I will be one of Aurora's suitors on her 16th birthday party, which is when her father just acknowledges her beauty, but now it's time to get married. Right. So she introduces four suitors there, which are the ones that do the famous Rose Adagio with her. Is that beautiful hard dance where she has to balance forever, switching partners. So I'll be one of those. And then I'll be playing the role of the king as well.
Awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
we talked a lot about the dance moves and the music, of course. What exactly are we seeing? And remember, it's radio, so let's paint a little picture. But describe the set and the costume for the christening, and then the middle sequence, the dream, and then of course the end.
I mean, it's an eleganza, extravaganza. Like, the curtain opens and you just see the palace, and you have courtiers entering in gorgeous dresses and capes and feathers and furs. I mean, you just have layers and layers that keep on coming out, and then it just creates this beautiful portrait on stage. And it's great because it starts out really empty for the prologue, and there's only one person on stage, Catalibut, and he's actually asleep mm-hmm. before the party. And then everyone starts arriving, and you just see the picture grow in front of you, and it just gets more and more luxurious as the king and queen enter, and then the fairies enter, and just it's beautiful, beautiful sets and costumes.
Yeah, and I to go off of that, it's kind of a fun situation to be in as a core member because you get to transform yourself. So. Like I was saying, in a lilac attendant, I have a beautiful, beautiful, like purplish tutu that we wear. And then for Mazurka, we have a wig that we put on, and we have really elegant costumes. So I think that's something that would be for an audience member to be looking forward to is just the beauty of the costumes themselves. They help the story come to life because when you put them on, you feel elegant. You feel like you're at the party. You feel like you are in this grand place. So I think that helps us in a way to get into our characters because they are so beautiful.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a combination of elements that bring this time period alive. The ballet premiered on 1890. So during that time period, you had, of course, the music of Tchaikovsky and the choreography from Petipa and mm-hmm. these beautiful costumes, I think, kind of match very well the feels of those two choreographic and musical elements mm-hmm. and just like tie everything into one, plus having that grandeur and elegant element to it. I think, yeah, it's going to be an amazing production mm-hmm. for people to watch.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you sold it. You sold me. So before yes. we go, in closing, just final pitch. Our listeners have been hearing this, you know, why should they come out? Why is it going to be a fun night out at the theater?
I think, you know, just kind of tying into the combination of elements, I think it's the live performance aspect of combining music, dance, costume, lighting, and then bringing it all together with a beautiful story.
That we all know. You know,
exactly. That is familiar to all. Yeah. And I think that because of the transitional aspect of it, like it will be very, very well understood. And the audience will really, really enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in, everybody.
Thank you.
Again, it's the Washington Ballet's Sleeping Beauty at the Kennedy Center, February 27th through March 3rd. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.